with Dr. Keith Suter.
The people of Papua New Guinea were ready to party, as they say. It was all in honour of a very, very special guest. And that guest was the President of the United States. But Joe Biden, he was supposed to be the very first US president to visit Papua New Guinea, in fact, a Pacific Island nation, on Monday, but he cancelled his trip and instead flew home. Of course, we know that he also cancelled his trip here to Australia and flew home to Washington from the G7 summit in Hiroshima to focus on domestic problems. Papua New Guinea welcomed the US Secretary of State instead, but I suppose for many in Papua New Guinea, it was like winning second prize in a raffle. Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions joins me this afternoon. Hello, Keith. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. Thanks, Brent.
Keith, can I ask, in reference to diplomacy in the Asian Pacific region, was this a blunder on behalf of Joe Biden?
Well, it was an inevitable blunder. It's clearly given ammunition to the Chinese, because the Chinese are able to say to the South Pacific countries, not just PNG, but to all of the countries in the South Pacific, there we are. The Americans will always put domestic matters ahead of their foreign policy in the South Pacific, and so the Americans will continue to neglect what goes on in the South Pacific. At the moment, the Chinese are seeking to exploit vacuums which have been created by Americans leaving the scene. The Chinese, for example, have just pulled off a significant improvement in relations between the traditionally hostile Saudi Arabia and Iran. They've done the work that normally you'd expect Americans to do, but the Americans are just not committed so fervently in the Middle East, except for the defense of Israel. So the Chinese saw there was a window of opportunity, and they've set up an arrangement whereby Iran and Saudi Arabia are now improving their diplomatic ties. In the case of the South Pacific, which has been neglected by the Americans in recent decades, the Chinese were able to say, with the loss of President Biden's visit, well, there we are, there's further proof the Americans really aren't that interested in the South Pacific. You can have more confidence in the Chinese in for the long haul. So it was a diplomatic blunder. On the other hand, the American president, if he were to have gone into the South Pacific, not so much PNG, but certainly Australia, he would be seen visiting paradise at a time when the US economy is on the brink of collapse because of the debt crisis triggered by his Republican opponents in Congress. The Americans view Australia as paradise. I teach young Americans, and they think they're visiting paradise. It's a safe place. The sun is usually shining. It's not going to be for this semester, I can tell you. But you know, they feel safer here than they do back in the United States. So the average American looking at Biden enjoying a trip to Sydney would be horrified, given the political and economic crisis which is emerging in the United States at this moment, and at this moment remains unresolved. So on the 1st of June or thereabouts, the Americans may be falling into a new recession, which will then flow on elsewhere around the world, given the importance of US Treasury bonds for not only the American economy, but the global one as well. So Biden really had no choice but to have to go home.
And on the PNG side of things, his replacement, the US Secretary, he was still able to achieve everything that Joe Biden would have achieved had he have gone to PNG. Am I right in saying that?
That's right, yeah. So Anthony Blinken did sign the new security deal with PNG, but obviously he doesn't have the star appeal of a president.
Of course.
And this would have been the first American president ever to visit PNG.
Has Biden said that, you know, like he has said, coming to Australia, I'll be there when we sort this out. Do you feel he'll also, on the way, visit PNG as well?
I think he will need to find an opportunity, because clearly what is happening is that China, as it resumes its role on the world stage, which it lost centuries ago, as the Chinese return to their global significance, there is this long-term competition between the United States and China. And, of course, nobody expected the Russians to invade Ukraine, so there's a bit of a detour while the Americans deal with Russia. But the real long-term problem for the United States is China. And so he will need to get back to trying to win friends and influence people, including here in the South Pacific.
Washington and Beijing are, it could be said, battling for influence in the Pacific. Who's winning that battle at the moment, Keith, in your opinion?
I think most South Pacific Islanders would prefer the Americans as an ally. But the problem is the Americans don't always behave as though they were an ally. And that's given scope for the Chinese to get into mischief. So there is an unease among South Pacific Islanders. Most countries, except for the Solomon Islands, seem to be very wary of the Chinese because they can see what's going on elsewhere with the Chinese brand of providing foreign aid, which is debt diplomacy. In other words, they don't give you money, they lend you money, and then when you can't repay it, you have to surrender some of your territory to enable the Chinese then to establish a presence. So there's a wariness on the part of a lot of South Pacific Island countries about China, but at the same time, they're also desperate to receive any financial assistance. The Americans could solve this problem quite easily by just being much more generous with foreign aid. And they could then say, we will go back to making sure the Pacific is the American lake, which traditionally it was in the 60s and 70s. But in recent decades, we've had the Americans vacating the Pacific. And now suddenly the Americans, remember when Barack Obama, when he was president, talked about this tilt towards the Asia-Pacific region, because he said, look, America has been based too often looking after European and Middle Eastern affairs. And so America is going to concentrate again on the Asia-Pacific region. And yet, where are we today? Americans are bogged down in a war in Ukraine. They're back in Europe.
I've got 50 seconds, literally, before I've got to go to the news. Just a quick one. Your thoughts. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis has officially entered the 2024 presidential race. There was a couple of hiccups, but now he's officially entered the race. Do you think he's going to be a thorn in the side of Donald Trump?
Well, the election is in two stages. One is getting the Republican nomination. At the moment, Trump is well ahead in that. And then the second stage is the general election, which is between the Democrats and Republicans. And on that basis, I think DeSantis would do well. But in order to be at the second stage, he's got to get to the first stage at the moment. And at the moment, Trump is still much better respected and supported in the Republican Party.
Okay, we'll talk about it further the next time. As always, we thank you for your time. That's Dr. Keith Suter.